good evening. I am Ashley Searle Peake, and this is ACP Today, the radio voice of the American Church in Paris. We're coming to you at 100.7 on your FM dial from the studios of Fréquence Protestante. Also with us is Dr. Ron Tappy, archaeologist, professor, and museum director at the Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. He will be sharing with us shortly about his work and teaching on the cultural context of biblical Israel. Welcome, Ron. What does archaeology bring to the study of the Bible?
Well, you know, what I just described to you was a kind of childlike vision of what archaeology is and what it could do. As I've educated myself in the discipline and have practiced it now for 30-some years, 35 years. I realize that there are limitations to it, and archaeology I do not look at as the authority on anything. We have a very incomplete record of ancient life that we have recovered. It's not as if we have recovered everything that ever existed. And so having said that, though, I have discovered that archaeology can really provide wonderful clues to what the world of the Bible was like. And over the years, I've come to believe that if you really want to dive into the biblical text, you must know what the world of the Bible was like, what pressures, cultural pressures, social pressures the biblical writers faced that led them to write these texts in the first place. And that's what archaeology can do. It, archaeology does not prove the existence or non-existence of God. It's totally incapable of doing something like that. It brings to light the nature of the world from which we got the Bible and the world in which Christ came to live.
And this is something that Pittsburgh Theological Seminary has definitely caught on to, because for over 90 years, this has been a discipline.
That's right. If you go back, you know, archaeology, first of all, is a very young discipline in terms of the modern practice of this discipline. It does not go back to ancient Babylon and ancient Greece the way medicine and math and astronomy do. It really began over the course of the mid to late 19th century. And so when you go back to the early 20th century, right at the birth of this discipline, and you look at the major institutions that were involved, first of all, they were primarily Western institutions and often Christian institutions. The large universities that were active then were University of Chicago, University of Harvard University. And the school that is sometimes a surprise to people is Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, was actively involved. As a matter of fact, a man named Melvin Grove Kyle became a professor at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary in 1908, a professor of biblical archaeology. He was the first professor in the United States appointed to that discipline.
Wow.
And he went on to become president of the seminary at one point. So we've we have a long, very distinguished history in the study of the so-called Bible lands, which would take in today Jordan, Israel, Turkey, Egypt, and more. And we've been involved not only in classroom teaching, a token course in, quote, biblical archaeology, but actual field research over all these decades. And so I'm really proud to be associated with this institution.
Well, you are currently directing a very important excavation, the Zeta excavations in Israel, and you've been doing this since about 1999. Tell us a little bit about these excavations, about the site, and some of the things that you found there.
Well, prior to that time, I had worked on a number of very large sites, and I began to realize how enamored archaeologists are with larger sites. I mean, everybody wants to excavate the huge temple. They want to find the literary archives and so forth. And I realized that that was probably skewing the historical picture, that most of the people would be left out. It would be like going to the United States and studying Boston and New York and Los Angeles and going home and writing your history of the United States. Most of us would be left out. And so I decided that I would like to excavate a smaller site, somewhere between these larger sites that the people were interested in. And so I wrote a research design, and in 1998, I went to Israel in search of a site that fit the design that I wanted to pursue. And I found a small site. It's in the foothills of Judah. west of Jerusalem, about an hour's drive southwest of Jerusalem, down toward the coastal plain. But it's not on the coast. It's not in the mountains. It's in those beautiful rolling hills in between. Mm. The Bible calls this area the Shephelah, which is a Hebrew word that comes from a word meaning to tumble down or to fall down. So these are the foothills of the biblical tribe of Judah. And so I've been working there since I surveyed the site in 1998, and we began excavations in 1999.
And in 2005, you tumbled upon a very important discovery. Mm-hmm. Tell us about what you and your teams found in 2005.
We had been working in an area, a layer, a deposit that we had been dating on the basis of stratigraphy and on the basis of pottery to the 10th century BCE. Wow. Traditionally speaking, by traditional chronologies, this would be the time of the United Monarchy and the time of, let's say, King Solomon. In 2005, right at the end of the season, as we were finishing up our work for the year, we discovered an inscribed stone which had been used to build a wall. So the stone had been inscribed, and then it had been put into a wall that formed part of a building. And what was on the stone really is the alphabet. It's a Semitic alphabet. It's the full, complete, mature alphabet. Since it's just an alphabet, there are no words, there are no nouns, adjectives, and so forth. So the challenge was to figure out what language this script represented. That's somewhat debated these days. Some people think it's Hebrew. Some people think it's Phoenician. Given the rest of the material culture that was associated with this particular discovery, I happen to think that this is Hebrew. Mm-hmm. So this would be the earliest complete Hebrew alphabet that has been found.
Wow.
There are some. There's one or two other inscriptions now that have that are actual narrative text inscriptions that have come to light that use a certain form of this alphabet or a slightly earlier form of this alphabet. But at the time we discovered this in 2005, this was one of the oldest Hebrew inscriptions that had been found.
That's amazing.
As I say, it's just the alphabet. You know, it's the ABCs
of the first alphabet.
Hebrew. But this is the toolkit that anybody who would have been writing during that time would have used. Let's say anybody working in the court in Jerusalem, the scribes of King Solomon or King whoever would have used this toolkit to write any kind of text that they would be working on. And the interesting, important thing about this discovery is that we are way out of Jerusalem.
That's exactly what I was wondering. Why was it out in the foothills, the rolling hills?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, writing is power. Reading is power. Literacy is empowers people. And it becomes a great symbol, actually, in a culture. And we know that the ancient people believed when the alphabet was first emerging as a writing tool. I'm talking about a fixed linear alphabet now, not hieroglyphics or cuneiform writing, but a fixed linear alphabet where you can distill everything down to, in this case, 22 simple symbols. That's extremely empowering for a culture and for a society who has control over that kind of literacy. It's important to display that. So I think that this is down in this region of Israel because we're right on the border. We're right on the border between what would have been biblical Judah to the east and Philistia, where the Philistines were living, to the west, right on the coastal plain. And so I think it was a symbol of an emerging monarchy that was there during the 10th century in Jerusalem.